And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper is recovering from a back injury, but we hope to have him back with us very soon. Well, as I just mentioned, the Miami-Dade County Commission will vote on the 2014-2015 budget a few short weeks from today. In mid-July of 2013, of last year, the Miami-Dade Public Library System was faced with closing 22 of its 49 branches and eliminating 250 jobs due to budget cuts. The order was rescinded in largest part due to public outcry, and not a single library was closed. But hours have been reduced, staff has been cut, programs have been eliminated. Joining us now is the president of the Friends of Miami-Dade County Public Library, John Quick. He is also a partner with the law firm in his spare hours, with the law firm of Weiss, Sirota, Helfman, Pastoriza, Cole, and Bonisk. Now, John was part of the effort to encourage the commission to support the libraries. Welcome, John, and great to have you with us.
Good afternoon, Bonnie. Thank you for having me, and we want to send our well wishes to your colleague, Joseph Cooper, as
Thank you so much. Thank you. Also joining us is Sue Svijanović, Library Operations Supervisor from Miami-Dade Public Libraries. Welcome to you, Sue.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Later in the program, we'll be joined by Winnie Jean-Enald, and a participant in the Miami U Media program. But let's just set this up now. We'll be taking your calls throughout the program. Tell us why the commission should restore Miami-Dade's library budget, why librarians and libraries are important to you and our community, at 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-9576. Or you can email radio at WLRN.org. And also, Paul Leary is going to be taking your tweets during the program at Topical Currents and your Facebook postings at facebook.com/topicalcurrents, and we'll get those updates during the program. Okay, so John, let's begin with you. John Quick, would you give us an update of where things stand today and an idea of what we think we can expect from the County Commission budget meeting on July 15th?
Currently, what we have is the mayor has not put out his budget proposal as of yet. We're expecting that to take place sometime around the 4th of July weekend, maybe a day or two thereafter, so that he can get it over to the county commission, which will consider it on July 15th. And we also welcome anybody. It's a public meeting. Anyone can come out to tell them how much they love their libraries and that they support their libraries at a $64 million budget.
When is that meeting that you're talking about?
July 15th.
Oh, the commission. Everybody's welcome.
Yes, everybody's welcome. It's a public meeting. The budget that we have been looking for is to restore the library budget to $64 million. That will bring back many of the services that have been cut over the past few years, and then also provide enhanced services as well. We are not expecting the mayor to propose a $64 million budget to the county commission, but ultimately it's the county commission's decision to set the budget, not the mayor's.
Okay. I think it might be beneficial if we looked at how we arrived at this juncture and where the cuts have been made thus far.
Okay, great. Over the past few years, the library has seen cuts in its funding. In fact, I mentioned $64 million to restore the budget. A number of years ago, it was actually much higher. Mm-hmm. The budget was set aside. It was in the $70 million range. What ended up happening is that for whatever reason, the county government decided to make cuts in the library budget, notwithstanding the fact that they were also at the same time directing the library to open new branches. So it was saying open new branches, but we're cutting your budget. So what obviously ended up happening is if you have more branches and less money coming in, services get cut, jobs get cut, and things like that. And that's how we ended up in this predicament where we are. The last 3 years, the library has been one of the historically, the library has been one of the most fiscally responsible departments in the county government, and actually had sizable reserves that they had built up to help with the opening of these libraries. That was why it was set aside. So when we have new libraries coming on, we can fund the staff and the programs for them. What ended up happening because of the cuts, the library had to dip into those reserves, and it ultimately, as of this past fiscal year, the one that we're currently in, tapped out those reserves, and so there is no more money in reserves to for the library to turn to give the services that people need and want.
Now, those branches that they asked be opened while at the same time they were cutting, what was the rationale behind that?
I don't know. I have not gotten a real answer out of the county as to why they were saying, on the one hand, saying open new branches, but yet on the other hand, we're saying, we're going to reduce the funding that you have. But for whatever reason, that was the directive that had come out of the county commission. And unfortunately for the library, it has really sapped away at its budget, and it has sapped away at its reserves, so that it's really operating on a menial budget at this point.
And its services. Let's bring Sue Svijanovic in. now, Sue is the library operations supervisor, is it? Or administrator. Okay. And as the library operations administrator, what does that entail?
Well, I'm one of three, but my responsibilities are I'm in charge of system-wide collection development, which involves the purchasing of all of our materials, books, databases, DVDs, all the materials that our patrons use, also the processing. Additionally, I'm in charge of system-wide circulation, which is people checking in and out books, patron records, the physical records of the books, and then additionally, I'm also the manager of the main library.
Okay, now you've been with the Miami-Dade Public Library System for 23 years, I see.
23 and a half. Mm-hmm.
So tell us what you've seen, the changes that you've seen in the infrastructure in the library, especially in these last few years.
Well, when I started in 1990, I was a beginning librarian, a reference librarian in a branch, and I've been at the main library since 1992. And during those years, I watched us grow. And, under the directorship of our current director, we grew in size. We had more branches. Our collection became larger, more robust. Our databases, we got more and more databases. We became a very, very respected library system in the United States. And staff, you could see staff just getting prouder and prouder. We also, during that time, had a very strong customer service orientation, and staff really began to. They were so you could walk into a branch, and people would compliment us on the customer service and the friendliness and the helpfulness of our staff, and it was really a system that we could be proud of. And then, as the budget cuts started coming, we have fewer and fewer staff. Our book budget has shrunk quite a bit.
You mean your ability to buy new books?
Our ability to buy new books has shrunk. It's pretty abysmal, actually. And so we're not able to buy as many. Our waiting lists are much longer. And so patrons are getting more impatient with us because they're having to wait more than 6 months, say, for a bestseller. We're not able to buy as many as we were before. Our staffing, as people have left, well, we did have layoffs several years ago. It was a significant layoff. And as our staffing has, as people have left, because now there are fewer opportunities for advancement, so younger librarians, seeing that perhaps they may not be around longer, they're jumping to find other opportunities elsewhere, and we're not filling those positions. And it's really becoming a strain on staff who are incredibly continuing to deliver and really want to deliver the service that they've been delivering all along. And it's very tough on them.
And what about the decrease in hours? How has that affected? And what is the decrease, actually?
The decrease happened actually several years ago after the layoffs. We cut back on Sunday hours. We cut Sunday hours out altogether. Mm. Branches were, for example, the main library used to be open from 9 to 6 every day, and then one day would be open from 9 to 9. So now we're open from 10 to 6, so that we're able to do some of that, other things that we had, the things that we had other staff doing that are not there any longer. A lot of branches now are only open 5 days a week, and we have staggered hours on the branches that are open 6 days a week. So you're either open in the morning and you close at 6, or you're open, say, at 12 to 8 or 1 to 9.
This might be a difficult question to answer, but who do you think has been affected the greatest? I mean, which population? Is there any way that you can, I mean, is it children? Is it seniors? Is it the disabled? Which population do you think is suffering the most because of all these cutbacks?
Well, I mean, it's really across the board. We serve such a large, such a diverse population, you know, and everyone to, the library is something different to almost everybody. You know, there's the people that grew up with the library that just envision taking their children to story hours, and of course they've been impacted. But then we also have, of course, the children. You know, the parents are coming in or the children are coming in. They want their books for summer reading. We don't have as many. It's more difficult to get them. They're on longer waiting lists. But the ones that really, I think, are affected are the ones who don't have the computers and the internet at home.
Right.
And you cannot survive in our society any longer without a computer. You want to apply for food stamps, you need a computer. You need your unemployment, you need a computer. And anyone that thinks that the library is obsolete should have visited the library the weekend that the Hialeah Section 8 housing application became open, because it was heartbreaking to see the number of people that were coming in there that had taken a day off of work because they needed to apply for that small number of housing vouchers. It was, you know, so I think they're the people that really are going to be affected. Where we have a lot of people who do not have computers and really don't know how to use them either.
So those that are the most economically disadvantaged
Absolutely.
May be suffering mm-hmm. the most. We are talking about saving our libraries today on today's Topical Currents, and we want to know how you use the library, what it means to you, what librarians mean to you, how you or someone you know has been affected by the cutbacks. When did you first get your library card? If you come from another country in which the government controls the media, how important is free access to the information at the library in your life? 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576, radio@WLRN.org. And today we are focusing on Miami-Dade County Public Libraries. That's not to disparage Palm Beach, Key West, or Broward libraries. We're just in the limelight right now with this budget meeting upon us. We're speaking with John Quick. He's a partner with the law firm of Weiss, Sirota, Helfman, Pastoriza, Cole, and Bonisk, and president of the Friends of the Miami-Dade Public Library. Also, Sue Svijanovic is the library operations administrator. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We are speaking about saving the Miami-Dade County Public Libraries today with Sue Svijanovic. She's the Library Operations Administrator for Miami-Dade County Public Libraries. And John Quick, a partner with the law firm of Weiss, Sirota, Helfman, is also president of the Friends of the Miami-Dade Public Library. And we're looking to hear from you at 1-800-743-9576. John, during the break, we were talking about when Sue was talking about the Section 8 housing, and some people only have access to computers through the library, and you wanted to add something to that.
Yeah, it was something I was glad that Sue had brought up, because I saw the news reports about it as well, and the reality is under the current the budgets that have been discussed out of the county, it would result in library closures. I know that the county is saying we're not closing any libraries, but many of them would be open 3 or 4 days a week for only a few hours a day. In my book, that's effectively a closed library. So when you asked about who would be the most affected, I think you would see a lot of a very significant impact on people such as those applying for a Section 8 housing, because they would not have access to not only the computers, but a lot of them, when they were interviewed by the news reporters, said, I came here and asked the librarians for their assistance, and there would not be the staff to provide that assistance, and then there would not be the computers to provide it, and even the computers that are there would be outdated, and you wouldn't have the true access that they require in order to meet their Section 8 housing, and would ultimately could result in them being displaced from their homes.
Mm. You know, Miami yearns to be, I guess, and in the eyes of many, envisions itself as a world-class city. Historically, how important is the library in that equation, in that vision?
I think it's integral to that, because what the library does is it takes your adults and your youth and provides an educated workforce. I've used the example of Silicon Valley to people before, that Silicon Valley was a sleepy town back in the 50s, but the reason it became what it is today was the support of the workforce, an educated workforce that brought one of their own back home to bring back with him his semiconductor labs. And by the way, I'm bringing people with me who end up branching off, forming what ended up becoming Silicon Valley today. There's no reason why the Jeff Bezos of the world and others should be on the other side of the country. We should be providing them with the educated workforce so that they can feel comfortable coming back here, and we can have significant industry impact and be a destination for corporations as opposed to satellite offices for those corporations.
Tell us more about the Friends of the Miami-Dade Public Library and this blue library blue ribbon task force. What is the mission of the Friends of the Library?
The Friends and the Blue Ribbon Task Force were two separate entities. The Friends is our mission is to support the library and to support the programming that the library wants to put on. We're effectively the foundation for the library, so fundraising as well as obtaining grants, which are then used for the programs that the library and the library director ultimately decide to put on. We don't direct the programming. We just provide the financial support for that programming, or for much of the programming, so that it can be provided to the community. The Blue Ribbon Task Force was a task force created by the mayor, Mayor Jimenez, where he brought together a number of industry leaders, business leaders, library advocates, and others to brainstorm about the library. I was fortunate enough to sit on that task force, and ultimately what came out of it based on a community survey, which actually showed support for increasing the library portion of the property tax through a library district survey. Based on that, we actually recommended a increase in the millage rate to provide enhanced services for the library. So we heard from the people through a survey, and they told us we want better services, and we're willing to pay for it. Users and non-users, I should point out.
Now, the mayor is loath to raise taxes, as we know. I mean, he talks about that a lot. It's clear that the commission has to grapple with this budget shortfall. So how do we ensure that the libraries are treated as a priority?
Talk to your county commissioners. Call your county commissioners. Write your county commissioners. There are petitions out there. If you go to the website savemdpls.org, there are petitions on that website. Call your county commissioners. Tell them why the library is important to you. Tell your friends and family to do the same thing, because the more that the county commissioners hear from you, the more likely they are to do the right thing and to fully fund a library system.
Now, this can't be ignored, although we're talking about libraries, but on Thursday, the Miami Herald had that article by Doug Hang stating that Miami-Dade budget cuts could eliminate 450 police jobs. Do you think this will have any effect on the issue with the libraries?
To some extent, we've kind of been walking hand in hand. We were with the firefighters last year and the Pets Trust, when they were looking at the budget cuts.
Right.
So we've been kind of progressing along the same line, and I think we've all known that this issue might be out there for the police, and that this the sad reality of what's being proposed, might come to fruition. So it'll have some impact, but I think we're kind of walking hand in hand in this.
Let's take a call from Jeff in Miami Beach. Jeff, welcome to Topical Currents.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Sure. Welcome. Go ahead.
My question is this. I noticed from some data that I reviewed that the items circulated in the library system has dropped from some 9 million back in 2009 to around 6 million today. Items circulated includes things like books and videos and films and recordings and even laptops and so forth. And I just wondered, from both of your guests, what would make it possible to return to a 9 million or even greater circulation? Another part of the question because something came up while after I had asked my original question. You know, you asked about world-class libraries in world-class cities. The Queensborough Public Library it serves about 2.3 million people, very much like Miami-Dade County. The budget is over $120 million a year, and their figures for items circulated is in fact the largest in the United States. How can we get back into the game of world-class library where we once were?
John, do you want to take that or Sue?
I can take that one. You know, there's a direct correlation between the amount of money that we spend on our materials to be checked out and how we're able to circulate them, you know, and check them out. Because whereas back in 2009, if there was a bestseller, we might buy 60 to 80 copies of it, and so people didn't have to wait so long. Now, you know, there may be some bestsellers that we're only able to buy a few copies of because our book buying budget, our materials budget, is a fraction of what it used to be. So, the way to get it back up, obviously, to me, is to spend more money on buying materials.
John, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does library opening hours have anything to do with this?
It probably has a bit of an impact on it, yes, because we have fewer hours that that people can come in and borrow. However, one of the statistics that is included in the circulation are the e-books. And, of course, people can download e-books, which are included in those circulation statistics. However, you know, again, the money to buy the e-books isn't there either. I mean, we're buying them, obviously, but there are some issues with publishers of e-books not selling to public libraries or jacking up the prices. For example, a Random House book that you could buy for $14.95 on Amazon may cost us $85 to $95. And so we're not able to...
As an e-book?
As an e-book,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my. One book?
Yes, for one book. Hmm. And so, you know, we're not able to purchase that many, obviously. So, you know, people have longer waiting lines and thus... the circulation statistics suffer from that.
John, you want to add something?
Yeah, I would just say in terms of circulation, it really is funding. If you look historically at the library 4 or 5 years ago, circulation was at an all-time high, and our funding levels were at appropriate levels. So now as the funding has decreased, you've seen circulation decrease along with it. So when you hear people say the libraries are obsolete and they point to the fact that circulation is down, it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you underfund a library and you don't give the people the circulation or the collections that they're looking for, you're not going to get a good amount of circulation to the public.
Well, I would think with the shift from the printed word to the electronic printed word, it costs a lot more money to get... I mean, especially if you're saying like one book can run you $80.
That's one publisher. Not all of them are quite that bad. But when you have James Patterson publishing a book every other month and they're all from Random House and everybody wants to see it right away,
right.
It creates quite a lot of stress on our system.
Okay,
but the demand hasn't gone down. I mean, it's just that the libraries aren't open enough for people to take advantage. I think. You know, to point to circulation numbers as any evidence of lack of demand is foolish. It's really the question, I think John is right, that it's the failure to fund the libraries adequately that has caused the drop in circulation.
Right. Okay, Jeff, thanks so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and we'll talk to Seresta, I believe, in Key Biscayne, who's a librarian. Welcome.
Thank you. I have a lot to say, but I've been a lifelong user of libraries, and I became a librarian, worked in academic, special, school, and finally Key Biscayne Public Library. And the libraries have changed so much over time with, you know, the new forms of material like the electronic books, audio books, DVDs, and... one of the things, I know we would check out a lot of movies, and the movie orders have gone way down. There are very few movies available, new ones, in the libraries. But the libraries have also provided a lot of things like early childhood literacy, which was a major aim of the libraries a few years ago, that having programs for children starting at 1 month and... getting them ready for preschool and school. So the libraries have just changed over time with the computers, having laptops people can use in the computer in the library, Wi-Fi that's available. A lot of people come in with their computers to use the Wi-Fi at the libraries. So they provide so many services.
Well, thank you. Do you want to comment, either of you? Thanks, Seresta.
No, okay. Thank you, Seresta, for bringing up the Wi-Fi and also the early literacy program, which is very, very important to us.
Yeah, I would just comment just to say that there are a number of services that I think a lot of people don't even realize that the library performs, and they're wonderful services.
Well, I was amazed when I read that, you know, the Pinecrest Library seniors were learning basket weaving and had a genealogical meeting, and there was a meeting for homeschool children to socialize, which allows the parents to socialize and talk about how they're schooling their children. I mean, I guess that there's so many things we don't even know about, and it seems like each library is trying to serve the community that it's in.
Right. And it's hard to, you know, really put a dollar value on the community space aspect of what the public library is. As well, and
a lot of the libraries, they're, like you mentioned, they're different for each community.
Right.
And you know, there's a number of wonderful programs that have been cut. There was one called Smart Science, Math, and Reading Tutoring Program, which provided 29,000 hours of academic support for our students here in Miami-Dade County during the summer months. When there are children in need, I believe it's 18 and under, of free lunch where they would normally get it at school, the place that it's primarily handed out is at the library. And I was just up at a library, up at the North Dade Regional Library last week, and there were 50 children who were there for the free lunch program. And, you know, it's something that's in need, and to not have the community space of a library to provide that would really be horrible.
And Sue, I see that there are tutoring programs for youngsters, and with families with means, you know, they can get a private tutor.
Right.
But when they don't have means, so have a lot of those tutoring programs been eliminated?
Well, as John said, we had the SMART program, and it was cut several years ago when we had the big layoffs.
Right.
And so, you know, we have kids coming in. Well, for example, in the main library, we have a lot of latchkey kids who basically have grown up coming to the library. And this is kind of off topic a little bit, but last year, two of the boys separately who had been coming to the library, and I remember them from being small children, I looked at downstairs and I saw this big guy striding into the library with his white cap and gown. He had walked right from his high school graduation ceremony and wanted to come in and just show us all that he had graduated from high school. He was so proud. And, you know, because particularly our children's and our young adult librarians had worked with him, had encouraged him, had probably in some ways tutored him and helped him with his home, and certainly helped him with his homework.
Right. Well, thank you, Seresta, for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
And at this point, we're going to bring in Winnie Jean-Enad. She's a U Media Miami alum through which she received financial aid to attend college. And Winnie, great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you also.
Oh, good. I'm glad you could join us today. So you're talking to us from St. Leo University in Tampa, is that right?
Yes.
And what enabled you to go to college? What was that program?
So I usually go to the library on the weekends or whenever I'm home, I'm not doing anything. The library was my refuge, like a safe place when I was in Miami. And Mr. Moore invited me to join the program, U Media, for young people, and I did. And he helped me a lot with the application, college application, and he helped me also with the to fill out my FAFSA for college. So I was able to fill out my FAFSA on time, and I was able to go to college with financial aid and all that. So the library was just like a lifesaver for me when I was in Miami.
What is this library? Could you explain the U Media Miami program? What is that?
U Media is a branch of the library in the North Dade Library, which focus on students, like high schoolers, most likely from 14 till 19 years old. And they help young people with everything through technology, of course, and other stuff. And it's kind of a support for us, you know. It keeps us away from the street or from trouble, because when you're in there and inside the library and the media, you dress yourself with other people, of course, other students, and it's just a happy place.
Right. So it's been really an integral part of your life.
Yes, it has been.
John, did you want to talk to Winnie?
Yeah, Winnie, I just wanted to say, I mean, it's great to hear, you know, such a wonderful success story. And you know, these are stories that, you know, we do hear out of the library. It's a wonderful to hear. And the U Media program is a great program. It's currently only offered in one library. But if we were to get the increased funding, there's no reason why it couldn't be offered. It's in North Dade Regional. There's no reason it couldn't be offered in South Dade Regional, Kendall Regional, any one of those libraries. So, you know, it would be wonderful if we could bring, you know, Winnie's success to other students as well in Miami-Dade County.
Maybe you can come to the county commission meeting on the 15th, Winnie.
I'd love to. I'd love to. After I graduated high school, I stopped by several times at the library. I talked to the current students, like the students that are part of UMedia now.
Yes.
I explained to them, like, the college life, how it feels like, how I love it, and all that. Like, it's a wonderful experience.
Well, we wish you the best. What are you majoring in?
I'm double majoring in history and sociology.
Mm.
Great. Good luck. That's great.
Yeah, congratulations. Okay, Winnie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
And John in Coral Gables, I just want to get to him before we go on, because he's been waiting a very long time. Talk about the cultural importance. Hi, John. Welcome to Topical Currents.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I wanted to note that, you know, $7 million was taken out of the library budget a couple of years back, because they were used for cultural events. The libraries were used for cultural events, and that I don't believe that money was ever given back. You know, when this whole thing happened last year, you know, after Jimenez reduced the library budget tremendously, and then last year when we had the crisis because they wouldn't restore the funds, you know, I really thought that the cultural community was going to come up to bat, and I thought that they were going to advocate for the libraries. I thought the civic leaders in this community were going to speak out, the university presidents, because it's all part of the same process. It's a benefit for this community. And except for Cindy Lerner, I noticed that most of them were quiet. They just didn't chime in. I challenged them, as we come into this budget this time, for the, you know, for the Jorge Perez's and the Philip Frost and all the people who give money to this community, as we've seen these museums grow, let's not have the libraries fall apart at the same time we're building a cultural community. So I just wanted to point that out. I really think it's time for everybody, who the civic leaders in this community, to step up and tell Jimenez and the commissioners that this is what we want.
John?
I would just add that, you know, I think that's a great point, John. One thing that you could do is talk to your local city councilman as well in Coral Gables, because a number of municipalities here, Homestead most recently, Pinecrest, Aventura, Key Biscayne, have passed resolutions, and there are others, I just can't remember off the top of my head, but they've passed resolutions urging the county commission to fully fund the library system. So, you know, you can also speak with your local council people and tell them, you know, please pass this resolution. They can look at what's been done in other cities, the most recent one, Homestead, and, you know, have the cities as well urge the county to fully fund these.
Okay, John, thanks so much for calling. Are you still there? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Two things. Number one, that petition that you said could be signed, again, could you give the website slowly? And we'll have a link to it on our website, WLRN.org. But
it's SaveMDPLS.org, and that stands for, SAVE is just as it sounds, S-A-V-E. MDPLS stands for Miami-Dade Public Library System. So SaveMDPLS.org.
Or the other one?
The other is the Friends website, which can get you there as well, which is friendsofmdpl.org. So it's the same MDPL without the S.
Let me ask you something, John, because we have people wondering why we're focusing on Miami-Dade County right now. But are you aware of other library systems around the nation that they're experiencing the same kind of problems and what measures they may be taking? You may not be.
I'm not to the extent that we're talking about. In fact, when I spoke with other library organizations, national library organizations, when we were facing this last year, I was told that what we were looking at would have been the largest cut in the history of libraries should that happen. Should we have gone
closing the 22 branches?
Closing the 22 branches, going from the budget that we previously had of $60 million down to what we're talking about. And I haven't checked, but our current budget is $54 million, and I've heard numbers like $30 million thrown out. It doesn't take it's not a reach to say we would probably be in that same ballpark as one of the largest cuts in library history in the United States.
So that's why we're focusing on Miami-Dade County, because the commission meeting is coming up on July 15th, and we're experiencing a lot of grassroots movements in Miami-Dade that are trying to restore the budget to the $64 million budget that it had, or actually it's less than it was. You said it was $70 million at some point in the 70s.
Yes, and Broward and Palm Beach don't seem to be facing the same sort of attack on the library system.
And Monroe?
I have not heard Monroe either as well.
Okay.
I think they're...
So we're not leaving out you other library systems in Palm Beach, Broward, and Monroe. It's just that this is of the essence because it's so immediate and it's impending, this... vote. Let's talk to Dave in Miami. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks
welcome.
For having me on. I wanted to make a two-part comment, if I may. I am a local publishing consultant. I write a top 10 blog for self-publishers. I'm a book designer, and I've been very involved with helping people create high-quality books for a number of years. So I have some insights into the publishing industry anyway. One of the things that I hear is I think that anybody who wants to be even remotely associated with civilization is going to agree that libraries are the cornerstone of civilization. I don't think that if we go to our county commissioners, they're going to say, oh, time to trash the libraries, we have other priorities. I think they're going to say, look, I like them as much as anybody, but I got five beans and I got 10 things here that cost one bean. So I worry that we're spending a lot of time advocating for libraries, and it's important, but I'm not sure we're going to get disagreed with there. Granted, people's priorities are going to be different from those of us who love libraries, but I think that what we need is to come up with a solution that looks good on a spreadsheet. Now, where I believe that solution lies is in the fact that the face of publishing has changed dramatically over the past few years, and certainly over the past decade. Over a million books are published every year, and yet libraries primarily serve the what used to be the Big Six and is now the Big Five major publishing companies. Mm-hmm. Libraries can assume a tremendous role in curating high-quality self-published works, independently published works, archiving books that are locally or about things that are local to that library community, and can also serve as educators and venues for independent publishers to get their works out into the community. There are a lot of people who can share workshops, share knowledge. I know the South Florida Writers Association meets at the Pinecrest Library. That's a small example. But I think that there's a gigantic slab of the publishing industry that's certainly been ignored by bookstores for business reasons, but libraries don't have that restriction. And I think that there's opportunities for libraries, there's opportunities for publishers, and I don't see much of it happening.
Okay. Sue?
I know that there are libraries around the country that are addressing this as well. And, you know, I think it's not something, it is something that we would look into currently with the staffing, what it is. I don't see it happening anytime in the near future, but it is something that we have discussed.
John?
I would just say, yeah, under the current budget, the library is really limited as to the support that it can provide to local authors and even local artists. Historically, the library has been a big supporter of local artists and local authors. There's a little different, what he's talking about, different media ways that it comes out now as opposed to the traditional publishing houses. But the reality is just with the budget they have, it's so small that you really have to pick and choose. Now, I would disagree a bit with the caller in that you're not going to get anybody coming out saying they don't support the library. Now, I'll tell you, most people will say, I support the library, but the reality is your actions speak louder than your words, and the budget that's being proposed does not speak to supporting the library.
Okay. All right, Dave, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Okay. And I just wanted for you to talk about, John, perhaps a fact that there's a quantifiable relationship between the economy and the library. I mean, a good economy actually can start with a good library for Miami-Dade County.
Absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned before, you have an educated workforce,
right,
and it will bring companies here. You can attract companies. So by bringing the companies here, you bring innovation here. Innovation spawns new companies. New companies spawn a bigger economy, and it just grows from there. And that's really, but it has to start with education, and a key component of that is your library. And if you don't have that, you're not going to have the support to make a corporation feel comfortable coming here.
I read this study that Lisa had sent me on how Florida benefits from the public libraries through their considerable contribution to education, the economy, tourism, retirement, quality of life, and that the study said that actually the return for taxpayers on their investment is actually a really good return. So
I believe it. I mean, we purchased a house not too long ago, and the first few things out of the realtor's mouth is, you're in this school district, your library is you're this far from the library. So it's pertinent for realtors, and so I believe that it is something that you get a really good return on investment.
Let's talk to Alex in Miami. Welcome, Alex. Alex?
Yes.
Hi, welcome. Here.
Hi. I just want to make a point that, you know, I feel like libraries are such vital to the community, as much in a way as, like, your local fire station. I mean, you don't really notice how you know, dedicated the community can be until you don't have access. You know, because they provide, every day you provide after school, you know, a place for the kids to go after school if they don't have a place to go at home. You know, there's all these services, and I think that every taxpayer should really think about that, because, you know, you're not going to miss it until it's gone. It's not really a lot of money coming out of your, you know, out of your property tax to support something that's so vital to the community. I mean, that's just, you know, as a taxpayer, that's just how I feel about it. You know, like John said, it can improve the economy. It's just much like your school system. If you don't pay into it, you don't get something out.
Right. Okay, Alex, the connection we have is pretty bad, but so I'm going to say goodbye, but we appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Did you want to comment, either Sue or John?
I agree. I don't want to be repetitive, but
right.
I mean, I agree. There's a number of things the library with an expanded budget. You could have teen centers at the regional libraries. Again, these are programming things for the director, but you know, community spaces is additional things that can be offered and you know, would increase the value of the library as well.
And sometimes it's a place for just somebody to go, you know, that
more than sometimes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, every branch, every day, it's that place.
Let's talk to Michael in Miami regarding library funding. We're getting a little bit close to the end of the program, Michael.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I was just calling because I had a question. I wanted to know, how is it the library gets funded? Because I hear people talking about raising property taxes, but I thought there was a special tax rate for the libraries. So I was wondering if either of your guests could answer that.
It's funded through property taxes. There's a library taxing district, and so you'll see a separate line, a separate millage rate on your property taxes, but it does come through the property taxes for all of those communities that are in the library taxing district. There are, you know, a handful of communities, Hialeah, Miami Shores, North Miami Beach, Bay Harbor Island, to name a few, but the majority of Miami-Dade County is in the library taxing district, Hialeah being the biggest one that's opted out. But so it is funded through county property taxes on your tax bill.
And, like, what's, like, the average for homeowners, or, you know, how much, you know, is it costing people?
I'd say I believe what we were talking about in terms of going from what the mayor's budget to or the $30 million that between 30 and 50 he had talked about to the $64 million is something like it's less than a gallon of milk per $100,000.
So this is a big fight over very little money.
It should be. I mean, in reality, the county budget or the library line in the county budget is maybe 1% of the county's overall budget. It's a significant impact on the library system and on the services you're going to receive. But in the grand scheme of things in the county budget, it's a very small percentage in reality.
So if you ask 100 people for a dollar, you have $100, whereas one person's only given up a dollar?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for calling. And we have very little time left, but we will go very briefly, and it's got to be brief. Nick in Coral Gables.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Great. I just wanted to ask, I know that one of the great functions about a library is that it allows people to be able to have access to things that they might not ordinarily afford. And I was wondering, has the library ever considered possibly extending that to Westlaw Next and Lexis Advance Access, which are legal resources allowing people to do legal research, which is very costly if you're a lawyer. So if so, has the library ever considered that? And if it can, could it ever possibly extend a flat rate fee to people to have access to that?
I'd have to turn. I mean, I'm familiar with Westlaw being a lawyer, but I have to turn to Sue to see if it's ever been considered or implemented.
Well, in the past, when we had a much more robust budget, it may have been something that we'd looked at. But even for that, you have licensing issues, and mm-hmm. various database vendors will have restrictions on the number of licensed users, et cetera, and then just the overall cost of it compared to some of the more general interest things that we can offer. I mean, we would have to have a pretty huge budget. Us to really consider going to something like Westlaw.
Okay, Nick, we thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I want to take these last couple of minutes now to talk about the meetings, talk about what our listeners, their friends, families, neighbors, business associates, co-workers, what they can do before July 15th and on July 15th. John?
I'd say, well, there's a number of opportunities to get out before the county commission. There are some town hall meetings that are happening over the next 3 days. Some have already happened. There's one tonight at 6 p.m. at the Kendall Library. Ironically, they're being held at the library.
Yes.
There's one tomorrow night at the Miami Lakes Library, and there's one Thursday at the West Dade Regional Library, all at 6 p.m., where the County Commission will be out to hear discussion. This relates to the proposed charter amendment about moving the libraries into parks, onto parkland, but it's an opportunity for you to speak to your county commissioners directly, or at least the ones in attendance, as to the importance of your library. On July 1st, there will be a county commission meeting at the Board of County Commissioners downtown to discuss this same charter amendment. It's another opportunity. And then on July 15th is the actual budget hearing. And it's your opportunity. They will hear from the public to discuss whatever you want to discuss related to the budget. I would hope it would be the library, and that people would come out and tell them how much they love and how much it means to them.
And will those dates be on that website, savemdpls.org? Will you have those up there so people know where these meetings are?
I believe they are. If they are not, then I will make sure that they are.
Okay.
There.
So again, that website is SaveMDPLS, which is Miami-Dade Public Library System.org. And of course, we will have a link to it on our website, WLRN.org. We want to thank John Quick. He's a partner with the law firm of Weiss, Sirota, Helfman, Pastoriza, Cole, and Bonisk, and president of the Friends of the Miami-Dade Public Library. And we want to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you again for having us, Bonnie.
It was our pleasure. Also, Sue Svijanovic is the Library Operations Administrator over system-wide collection development, system-wide circulation, and the main library. We want to thank you very much for being with us, Sue.
And thank you for having us, Bonnie.
And again, the website, savemdpls.org, and that commission meeting is on the 15th of July, but there are other meetings you can attend before then. That is our program for today. We thank you so much for spending your time with us, and we apologize to the callers and emails we couldn't get to. Our producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction and production assistance from our online producer, Paul Leary. Free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN, and links, of course, to today's program and the website, facebook.com/topicalcurrents. On tomorrow's Topical Currents, we look at the glorious mess known as the English language with Amon Shea. Those are his words. He's the author of Reading the OED, and his latest book is Bad English, A History of Linguistic Aggravation. We encourage you to make your voices heard by the county commissioners regarding restoring the library's funding. Bonnie Berman joining you in sending best wishes to Joseph Cooper and hoping your day is a good one. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.